Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. In the next half hour, we'll be talking with Molly Hansen from Iowa Rivers Revival, and we'll be learning about Iowa's rivers and how you can protect them. Hi, Molly. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Jesse Lowry from Blank Park Zoo. And Jesse, why don't you get us started today?
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here. I'm the conservation manager here at the zoo. And we like to start this program every time with just a little bit of background of how Blank Park Zoo, your community zoo here in central Iowa, is helping to save animals in the wild. Our mission is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through education, conservation, recreation, and research. And really, we want to use the zoo as a tool to inspire conservation actions, to inspire our audience of almost 500,000 people to change something in their behavior, change something in their everyday life that's going to help save animals, whether it's an exotic animal like giraffe or rhino in Africa or Asia, or the monarch butterfly right in our backyard. And we've got a really nice platform with our audience here in the community to really really incite that those behavior changes. And so just quickly want to touch on all of the different ways that Blank Park Zoo really does this conservation work. We, of course, try to be sustainable in our day-to-day operations here at the zoo because being green and sustainable has a direct effect on wildlife and our environment, and I think that's definitely going to be talked about in today's show here with Molly, talking about rivers and local Iowa species. We've also got our pollinator conservation project, Plant Grow Fly, where we encourage people to plant butterfly gardens, where it's whether it's a single pot on your back porch or an entire prairie restoration. We believe that everybody can do their part, and we now have over 1,000 butterfly gardens registered with the project. So you can find out more about that on blankparkzoo.com. We also support field conservation, both here, you know, in the U.S. and abroad. It's really the backbone of what a zoo can do to save animals, is financially supporting and by supporting via in-kind support those people and organizations that are out in the front lines working to save giraffe in Namibia, working to save chimpanzees in Uganda, working to save hornbills in Thailand. And we do that through the support of the community. We have a new way of supporting conservation, and it's a portion of all revenue made at Blank Park Zoo goes to save animals in the wild. And so if you come here on a Sunday afternoon and you ride the train, you're saving animals in the wild. If you buy food at the grill, or you have a wedding here, or you come to Zoo Brew, you are saving animals in the wild. And so that's a really neat way that we can really involve the community. We see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place where we can invite the community and the family to come see these beautiful, charismatic animals. But then, like I said, be inspired to take that next step and make a conservation action to help save them in the wild. And so another thing that we can do, if you want to get the most bang for your buck in saving animals, you need to take care of your local environment. And we are really honored to partner with organizations like Iowa Rivers Revival. And excited to have Molly here, the executive director, to talk about the work of this amazing organization right here in Iowa. So Molly, thank you so much for being here. Why don't we start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey?
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me. I am a longtime Des Moines native. I was actually born here, and I've lived and worked in different parts of the state, but I'm Des Moines born and raised and have lived in Iowa my whole life. So the journey that's brought me here has kind of gone all over, but has pretty much stayed within our two big rivers. So I was born in Des Moines and went to Johnston Schools. I attended University of Northern Iowa and up in Cedar Falls, which was a great opportunity for me to kind of delve deeper into science. I found an earth science department that was just full of some professors who traveled all over and had crazy adventures, and they brought their students along with them. So that was an incredible opportunity for me. And then that's how I got involved in conservation. As a geology major, you're kind of supposed to go to grad school or go work for oil companies, and I didn't want to do either of those things. So my professor actually introduced me to the naturalist at the time at the Black Hawk County Conservation Board, who worked at the Hartman Reserve Nature Center. And I went over there and asked them for an internship, and then they were just stuck with me for the rest of the time that I was at school. So I worked with a lot of the environmental educators. We went into schools. We hosted camps and activities at the Nature Center and taught kids all about composting and recycling and the animals that they had in the park and at the Nature Center. And I was able to work there while going to school. And it just really opened my eyes to kind of the really diverse natural resources we have in Iowa that we don't always get to see. Like in my situation, if you grew up in the suburbs, or even kids who grow up in the city, but really don't have the opportunity to get out. You know, we have some great parks, the county park system, the state park system. And so that was a really good opportunity for me. So when I graduated, I was looking for a full-time job in conservation. And people find this surprising, but it's a really, really competitive field. And so we offer a lot of different, like, seasonal opportunities, internships, volunteer opportunities. So you really do kind of take the job where it goes. I worked in Cerro Gordo County, as well as Black Hawk County, and ultimately landed at Madison County. So I was able to be pretty close back to Des Moines and still explore this totally different landscape, because Madison County in Winterset is beyond sort of the last glaciation period. And so just driving in there, you see these, you know, limestone bluffs and river valleys that you don't see in Des Moines or north of Des Moines. And so I got to spend almost 5 years there doing all the environmental education and outreach. So we spent time in Middle River. We went fossil hunting in the limestone, ran into a timber rattlesnake or two, and really got to learn more about, you know, oak savanna, prairie, and our river resources. So that kind of led me to continue to pursue what I could to kind of work in conservation and natural resources, and I joined the volunteer board of directors for Iowa River Survival. And it was just a learning experience for me. It's an organization that partners with, you know, the Department of Natural Resources, with other nonprofits, with general citizen paddling groups, things like that. And I got to learn a lot more about basically our 70,000 miles of interior rivers and streams in Iowa. And start having some more adventures on them, too. So when the nonprofit had grown to the point where we thought we had the capacity to hire on a full-time staff person for the first time, I threw my name in the hat, and it ended up being a really great opportunity for me. So I've served as our executive director for just over a year now. So it's staff is myself and our assistant director, Jen Dreyer, and we report to a board of just passionate volunteers and river enthusiasts.
Well, I can attest to the beauty of Madison County. I'm from Winterset, and also to the wonderful job that you did for Madison County Conservation Board while you were there. So it is a great place to inspire that conservation ethic. Please tell us more about Iowa's River Revival and what projects are you working on right now?
Sure. So we are a nonprofit river advocacy group, which can mean a lot of different things. But our mission is helping protect, restore, and enjoy Iowa's rivers. And so we work with a lot of different groups and a lot of different individuals to essentially clean up the rivers that we've got and try and provide more easy access to people to get out and enjoy our rivers, and then really make sure that we're talking to our elected officials and our legislators and, you know, even our local elected officials to figure out how we can best support our natural resources through policy and through funding, you know, mechanisms, things like that. So we kind of operate in a cycle. We're really involved up at the Capitol when things are in session, kind of trying to push for funding for low-head dam mitigation and water trails to really get that recreational experience piece for people to get out and sort of discover their love of the rivers. And we also then do a lot of outdoor, I would say, outreach and education. Summer has been a blast because we get to be out. We take legislators out on the river. We take kids out on the river. We try and visit with other paddling groups and get them out on the river, because ultimately people need to have a positive experience out there in order to kind of care what's going on. And so the more that we can help cultivate those positive experience for Iowans, the more support we know we'll have kind of for programs and things like that. So this summer, we're wrapping up some really great programs. We have an adult education program called the Master River Stewards Program, and it's modeled after like Master Gardeners or Master Conservationists. It's an 8-week adult education program, and we used to just put on one a year. It was very popular. At the end, each student gets to come up with a project that then they go back into their community and do something that's good for their local river or creek. But we worked with the world famous Jim Pease, who I know everyone knows. And he is a retired professor from Iowa State. And we talked about, you know, it'd be great if we could train other people to go out and put these on so that we could do more workshops in a year. And so we did a train the trainer program. And this year we're going to have 5 Master River Stewards programs around the state and graduate over 50 new Master River Stewards, which is kind of, you know, building our grassroots army, but also just informed citizens who then have more tools to go out and kind of make a difference in their own community. So that's really exciting to see those classes graduating and going through that program. And then in the summer, we also partner with the Children and Families Urban Movement, or CFUM. They're in the River Bend neighborhood in Des Moines, and there are several kids that do a before and after school program through them, as well as a summer program. And we partner with them to take 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders out on the water Saturdays in August. And it's called the River Rascals Program. And it's just a blast. A lot of the time, it's the kids' first experience really out, you know, paddling. They learn paddling skills. They're catching frogs. They're, you know, even just swimming in the river, things that if you haven't experienced that before, it's kind of hard to have access to. But we partner each kid with a paddling mentor, and we take different adventures around central Iowa. And in the last day, we actually do a mini river cleanup. So the kids are helping, you know, pull trash out of their own rivers and kind of see the impact of that work that they do. And it's a blast. We just got done doing all of those. And then our final thing this summer was we have a new volunteer group. So we adopted a section of Four Mile Creek. And so we did 2 creek cleanups, 1 in June and 1 in August, and pulled out more trash than it's always surprising. But we pulled out a ton of trash that then the city of Pleasant Hill took care of for us.
What are some of the major challenges that Iowa rivers face?
Sure. Well, we live in a very interesting state. It's actually the most altered landscape in the United States from, you know, original settlement, essentially. So we look at our rivers and streams as kind of our last wild spaces. Everything else has been altered, either through cities and development or, you know, agricultural lands and things like that. And so with all that change, it really has an impact on our rivers and streams. And our 3 biggest issues with our rivers today are sediment caused by erosion, and nutrient runoff. So a lot of chemicals and things coming off of both city streets, but a lot of farming operations, and then bacteria. And that, again, comes from a lot of, you know, animal confinement and a lot of just use of the land and things that, you know, run right off and run right into your rivers and streams.
So what would you recommend people in central Iowa, individual people, families, what can they do to help keep our rivers and streams healthy?
Definitely. Well, don't litter would be number one. It's amazing every time we go do a trash pickup, you know, you find stuff that's been in there for maybe 50 or 100 years, and then you find stuff that somebody just tossed in there yesterday. So just kind of changing daily habits of, you know, making sure that trash goes where it goes, or, you know, leave no trace when you camp and things like that. But little things too, you know, that can make a difference. They talk about, you know, we have a heavily agricultural and, you know, animal raising tradition here in Iowa, but even, you know, abstaining from eating meat for a day can make a difference in water quality, because a lot of the big issues with animal confinement is water and clean water coming in and out of those facilities. And so, you know, kind of lessening our dependence on some of that can be a really big deal. But also, I mean, we'd love to see, and this kind of feeds into some of the stuff that we've talked about with pollinators and things too, you know, our landscape has changed so dramatically, and we used to have a lot of, you know, wetlands that act as a natural filtration, or prairies that have this deep root system that help hold on to the soil so it doesn't erode off. So any opportunity we have to, you know, kind of put our land back to a little bit more natural way is going to help the river kind of, and the land work in the way that it wants to. And that's why we got involved with Lowhead Dam mitigation as well. It was originally a safety concern, but ultimately, when you dam up rivers and streams, they can't act naturally the way they want to. And so when you take those out, you're kind of rewilding that space. And we've seen, you know, habitat improvement, new fish species, developing of a more natural floodplain, things like that. So understanding kind of that our rivers operate as a system, you know, a watershed, everything that we do upstream affects the people downstream from us, and then everything that we do is going to affect the people further down. And
I'm sure a lot of folks have seen on the news reports about the recreational aspects of redoing those dams, mm-hmm. and the whitewater aspects. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I actually got to go play in them for the first time this summer, and it was way too much fun. It's just, I mean, it's a playground in your backyard now. So two projects that have gained a lot of publicity, and rightfully so, are Charles City, which was our original whitewater course in Iowa. Yes, we have whitewater courses in Iowa. And then the city of Manchester. And these started out as simply, you know, semi-small to mid-sized communities who were worried about kind of economic development and keeping young families in Iowa, encouraging them to move to their area. Like, what could they do to kind of attract them? And what we've learned is, you know, people want to get outside and play, and they want it to be fairly easy and accessible. And so what started as a, you know, how can we draw more people to our community, it actually had them turning back to the river as this great resource. And so the Lowhead Dam had been, you know, dangerous. And then once we took that out and put in these whitewater courses, you've got, you know, a little kid can jump on a tube and go down by themselves, no problem. You've also got more fishing opportunities. You know, businesses are kind of popping up, kayak and tube rentals, or a brewery across the street, or things like that. And so these projects have really revitalized these communities and shown people that, you know, in Iowa, we don't have to fear our rivers and water. We can get out and play on them and embrace them.
That sounds really exciting. Let's move on to something that we hold very dear here at Blank Park Zoo. Let's talk for a few minutes about turtles. Please tell us about the exciting news that's happened in the past year for native species of turtles here in Iowa.
Absolutely. So a lot of paddlers or anglers, or even people who just hike around and spend time on rivers, are used to seeing, you know, kind of that iconic image of a turtle sunning itself on a rock or a log. And we started to see over the last few years less and less of those turtles out in the wild. And so some of the biologists at the DNR started doing some research and some surveys of, you know, are we crazy, or are those numbers really starting to decrease? And we realized that they were. And as we looked a little bit closer into it, we realized there was a new market of basically harvesting wild turtles. And we're talking about mostly the aquatic or the swimming species. So for us, that would be the painted turtles, the smooth and spiny soft shells, and then the notorious giant snapping turtles. But we were seeing less and less, and less of the full size, you know, large adults. Because, I mean, turtles can essentially outlive us if they have the ability and the safety to do so. So it was basically a really big collaboration and joint effort. We got to work with the zoo. We got to work with the DNR. We got to work with, you know, sportsmen's groups. And it really brought together this awesome coalition of people who were like, you know, we'd like our kids and our grandkids to still see turtles out in the wild. And essentially what we did is helped establish a season and then a set of rules for commercial turtle harvesting. So this isn't talking about somebody who goes out and pulls a turtle out of their farm pond every once in a while and makes turtle soup, you know, in the traditional sense. It really was individuals pulling out large numbers of turtles and sending to a market in China. And so that's not sustainable. And so we brought a lot of people together. We looked at, you know, the research. We looked at a lot of science and data. And what ultimately, after a year-long rulemaking process, which was slow, but we made it through. And there was a lot of compromising conversations. And ultimately, we were able to protect there's a closed season around peak nesting, mating and nesting time that protects them and gives them the opportunity to do that and reproduce. And then there are now catch limits or daily bag limits. So you can only take so many in order to kind of sustain the species. And then it also continued that biological survey that the DNR was doing. So we're still doing research for the next few years to see if, you know, these rules are having any impact on rehabilitating those species and seeing those numbers go back up in the wild.
If I remember correctly, there's surveys happening for the next 5 years, and then there'll be another report about the populations of those species.
Mm-hmm.
We were really excited to partner with you on that project, and it was such a fantastic win for all of the partnering organizations. It was really fun for the Blank Park Zoo employees, all of our volunteers, our board members, all of our zoo members. We've got 10,000 members and our larger audience to all come together and sign postcards, call lawmakers, send emails to lawmakers, and we were able to really leverage our audience to send those messages in support of Iowa's turtles. And so that was really an exciting time for the zoo, and we were so happy to have that success with you guys.
It was awesome.
It really was. And so we look forward to hearing more about the surveys of Iowa's turtles, and hopefully we'll get those numbers up. So with the last few minutes that we have, please talk to us a little bit about paddling with lawmakers. We have heard that you have been taking some of our lawmakers out on the river.
We have. It's been a really awesome experience, especially when individuals really only are able to interact with their lawmakers, you know, up at the Capitol. Everybody's wearing suits. It's very stressful. It's kind of a high intensity environment, and it's really hard to have any meaningful conversations. But when you think about an enjoyable activity in the summer, you know, getting out in a canoe or a kayak and paddling your local river is about as relaxed as it gets. And so that's how we wanted to interact with our legislators. We wanted to take them out on their own, their own stretch of river, creek, in their own community, and kind of show them their community from a new perspective. And we kind of coined it Realize Your River because, you know, some of us, it's right in our backyard and we really just don't go out. And so this is the second summer in a row we've partnered with the Department of Natural Resources, the director, actually, Chuck Gibb, the deputy director, the river and water trails guys have come out. We've partnered with the county conservation boards and local communities to provide boats and shuttling. We partner with local restaurants or delis to provide lunch. And really, it's just a day to get out on the river and talk about the value of embracing natural resources and what a amenity it is for a lot of these communities. And so, you know, last summer we were, on huge rivers, but then also, you know, mucking about in Beaver Creek. And then this year, same thing. We went up on really large stretches of, you know, the Cedar and the Des Moines, but then we were looking at urban restoration projects in Walnut Creek right here in Clive, and even doing a little pontoon ride downtown right near the botanical gardens and the downtown dams to talk about, you know, what it would be look like to reconnect that river right through downtown. And it just gives them a perspective of their community outside of either their office or the Capitol or something like that. So we get them in a pair of shorts and put them on a boat and have some pretty great conversations about our rivers.
What have been some of their reactions?
Well, I found out that one of our state representatives, Representatives Baxter, was qualified for an Olympic rowing team. So we've learned that some of them are very skilled paddlers. We've also learned that some of them are not very skilled paddlers, but we partner them with someone in a canoe and kind of show them the ropes. So just the fact that they're willing to get out there and trust us for an afternoon, basically, you know, all of them are really proud of where they come from, and it's an opportunity for both of us to kind of like show off the resource. And it's been a great way to have really positive conversations rather than the kind of arguing that we've seen at the legislature level.
What's one of the things, you know, people we like to relate? What can people do to help our rivers? What's one thing they can do?
Sure. You know, really, I think you got to get out and play in them and experience them. And if it's something that you're comfortable doing personally, take somebody out who's never been. You know, a lot of time it's an intimidating process. You know, there's gear and there's put-ins and you have to be shuttled or things like that. But really just kind of getting out there and having an experience and exploring it and take someone along with you who's maybe never had that experience. You know, building sort of that positive community around the river, I think that's where we start.
Where can folks learn more about your organization?
We are at www.iowarivers.org, and we also have a Facebook page and a volunteer group called the Service Squad for people who want to get out and get dirty.
Molly, thank you so much for being here today. We are just honored as Blank Park Zoo to partner with your organization, and thanks so much for all the work that you do for Iowa's rivers and turtles.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, Molly, thanks for joining us today. Blank Park Zoo is open year-round and open 7 days a week during the summer. You can learn all about the zoo, such as the animals, special events, previous episodes of this show, and more at blankparkzoo.com. Make sure you check out the zoo's YouTube channel, where there's lots of fun video. And that's all the time we have for today. Make sure you join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.